Welcome, my friends. I am so grateful that you are joining me for another episode of Silence the Imposter Monster. I have been really excited to release this episode because I am talking to my daughter and business partner, Cassie Hammond. You're going to get a behind-the-scenes look of my business and get an idea about what goes into creating content and launching products. Please be aware that there is some time-sensitive information in this episode. If you are listening before September 20th, you are in luck because you'll have a chance to join my upcoming 3-day video challenge, which we discuss in this podcast. If you're listening after September 20th, you are still in luck because there is tons of valuable and inspirational content in this episode. Thank you again for listening, and if you'd like to join the 3-day video challenge, and you're listening before September 20th, you can go to lorihammond.club to sign up. That's LORIHAMMOND.CLUB, not .com. Enjoy the show. I am so excited for this interview. Today, we are actually going to be talking to my daughter, Cassie Hammond, who she and I accidentally discovered is a tremendous asset to my business. It all started with me asking her to edit one podcast for me, and it has just spiraled into something really beautiful and amazing from there. So I'm just going to introduce to you Cassie Hammond. And Cassie, if you would just tell me a little bit about how you and I started this adventure. Let's not go back to the very beginning of the adventure, but just this Trancy Pants adventure when you came on and started helping me with my business.
Yeah. So I started editing podcasts for Lori about 6 months ago. And like she said, just started taking on a lot more responsibilities and wanted to be able to come on here and share with you guys just kind of what that process has looked like and what we have learned about business and, Lori handing over some of her tasks has been just a really big learning experience for both of us, just in kind of what that process looks like. So we wanted to have an opportunity to share that with everybody.
Yeah. So I have been a solopreneur for 3.5, almost 4 years now since I started this hypnosis business. And I really wasn't sure what it was going to look like. I just knew there are a few things that I knew coming into this, and that was that I did not want to trade dollars for hours. I had been a hairstylist for several years and I loved it, but I had to be physically behind the chair and making money pretty much hourly. You know, there's different ways to earn money as a hairstylist. One is hourly commission, but at any rate, I was making money based on the time that I was spending. So I didn't want to trade dollars for hours anymore. And I didn't want to have to be in a specific place because I really wanted to travel. So I set my business up so that I could work from anywhere in the world that has a strong Wi-Fi signal. And there are lots of places in the world that have a strong Wi-Fi signal. But my business has kind of morphed and changed. And since Cassie came on with me, the most magical thing has happened. And I am so incredibly grateful to you, Cassie, because I felt a little bit directionless. And I think this is, well, I know it's common because I work with a lot of other hypnotists on entrepreneurs. It's like we have so many ideas, we're not sure which one to choose. And I've kind of been going down all these different rabbit holes, and they're all things I love doing. But since Cassie has come on, she has helped me get so much clarity and so much organization. Cassie, tell me a little bit about your organized brain and how you have helped me get more organized.
I think that's a really broad
question. I know, it is a broad question. Just go with whatever you want to answer.
So I've always been the type of person that likes to have a really systematized direction with things. So even when I first started, I said, Lori, we need to sit down and organize your Google Drive. Like, the way your documents are organized is not okay. So just things like that, that have really helped us progress the business. And I think one of the biggest things that we've done is when we made that calendar. Mm-hmm. And we sat down and we said, what is this month going to look like? What are we going to focus on every single day this month? And we went in and we scheduled out Clubhouse calls. We scheduled out Facebook Lives. just different things that would help us achieve our goals. And then we laid out what our goals for each month would be and just tried to put it in a really clear form of writing, which I don't think you had ever done anything like that before, if I'm right.
Well, I had done some things like that. Like I'm a bit of a dreamer. One of my, if you look at the Clifton strengths, one of my top strengths is futuristic. I think that's what it's called. And so I'm always looking to the future and creating these like grand dreams. And then I'll kind of, sometimes I'll put things in writing, but I'm not super disciplined about sticking with it consistently. So one of the things that has been so awesome is Cassie will say, okay, today, let's go ahead and just revisit. Let's look at the calendar and let's make sure we're on track. And part of like my dreamer is like, oh, do we have to? But doing it has just been amazing. And I want to say one of the things that has skyrocketed my business the most since Cassie came on is just having someone to dream with, for us to sit down and think, okay, what can we achieve this month? And starting to just build a vision together has created such momentum for me. And in the end of February, we sat down and planned out March and we said, okay, we want to add 100 new members to the Hammond Inner Circle Mastermind. This is a group, a fairly small group where I just mentor people. I thought that I was going to be mentoring people, but we took out that word mentorship because what I discovered is there are so many brilliant minds in there and people who can offer perspectives and skill sets that I don't possess. So now someone will come ask a question in that group and they will just get massive value from the answers because everyone there is rooting for everyone else. And I created that group and I have seen, it was kind of like an experiment, something I'd wanted to do in response to the people who have asked me to mentor them. And I started it not totally sure what it would look like. And it's been such an amazing thing that I needed some help moving forward. So our goal in March was to add 100 members to the Hammond Inner Circle Mastermind in March. And by March 9th?
I think it was by the 10th, yeah.
By March 10th, tell them how many members we'd had.
99.
Yeah, and but how many of those were new members? Because we wanted to put in 100 new members. And I think by the 10th, we had 41 new members.
I think we had 41 existing. So we added almost 60 new members by the 10th.
Okay. Yeah. So I stepped back and I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. Let's wait. I want to make sure that everyone who's in there gets massive value before we add any more. And right now we're still at the time of this recording and we're recording on April 9th, and this will come out in a couple months. But at the time of this recording, I'm capping it at 100 members because I want to make sure every single person in there is getting such massive value that they are seeing their business skyrocket. And that is what's happening right now. The daily victories that people are sharing are incredible. So when we got to 99 members, I freaked out a little bit and I said, pull the plug. We're not letting anyone else in. And we closed it. And I'm 4 days later, my apartment flooded and I lost my apartment. We lost everything. And it was like this crazy, crazy month. But it's been so awesome because Cassie and I together have set up this recurring revenue source now where it's been such an incredible blessing because I didn't have to freak out and think, you know, what new thing am I going to put out this month that's going to bring in the revenue? We had that in place. So Cassie, I am so stinking grateful to you. I tell you every day, but you're amazing. I just touched her baby, you guys. So just talk to me about so before you started working with me, share as much or little as you'd like to, like, what did you think I was doing and what aha moments have you had about what it actually takes to run a business like this? I think this will be really useful for anyone who's curious about building a business similar to mine.
Yeah. So I, coming from Lori's daughter's perspective, was like, oh, she's always working. What is she even doing in there? And now I still do like pull her back sometimes and say like, okay, it's Saturday. Let's, you know, go to brunch as a family and change gears for a little while and kind of pull her away from the business. But I guess I didn't really know what it looked like that she was doing. I just knew that she was always, always doing something. And she always had a call here. she was a very busy person. And I had no idea what that looked like. I've always worked, you know, structured hour jobs. So it just confused me that she was working every time I called. And now I understand it. And I do think that the organizational aspect has helped kind of balance you out a little bit with saying like, this happens at this time. And these are the times that we do these things. But it takes a lot more than I expected. And I also think that it takes a direction that even we're figuring out. Like there are certain things that I say, okay, what is going to be the most beneficial thing that we can do right now? And Lori will be sitting here trying to make an image look perfect in Canva or working really hard on something. And I say, do we need to focus on that? Or do we need to focus on this? So I think like even just having that direction. So Lori talks a lot about the book, The One Thing.
Thank you.
And I do like both of us try to pull back and focus on that. And that's where like things like that calendar come into play where we can say, this is our one thing. So does this specific Canva art, is that our one thing, or is interacting in our Facebook group the one thing? So now that, I guess to answer your question, now that I'm involved in it, I do see how much goes into it. And I think that my advice to entrepreneurs is having that just focus of saying, what is the most important thing that I can be doing right now? Because I see, you know, we have a group, we have three different Facebook groups right now, I believe. Mm-hmm. Three different Facebook groups that all require some level of engagement. Lori gets dozens and dozens and dozens of direct messages every day. She has people that she checks in with frequently, like, you know, both in her professional life and her personal life. She has friendships that she's trying to facilitate and running a business on top of that. It is very time consuming. And now that I actually know what she's doing, it makes the selfish child part of me not be like, Mom, pay attention to me.
And at the same time, this is an enlightening conversation for me too. I want to let everyone listening know a lot of the busyness that I have engaged in is a lack of organization on my part. And that's one thing that Cassie has helped me with so much, because we get these ideas that we have to be busy to be effective. And if you read that book, The One Thing, and truly apply it with consistency to your life, I believe that you can work much less than I am. And that when I consistently apply the principles in the book, The One Thing, I can often get everything done in the first 2 or 3 hours of the day that I need to. But when I first started this business, I didn't really know what I was doing. And I was just trying to figure stuff out. And I was working like from wake up to go to sleep. And the thing is, I love it. Like, I love my business so much. To me, it feels like play. I feel like I have hit the jackpot. And I love geeking out inside Canva and creating great graphics. And before I passed it over to Cassie, I loved editing the podcasts. And like, I just squirrel and I'm going down this path and this path. But when you start to organize your time, which Cassie has helped me with so much, you don't have to work that much. And one thing that I love about, and one reason I chose this, when I was a hairstylist, I think hairstylists are naturally people who crave autonomy. They want to be in charge of their life more than the average person. This is my observation with the hairstylists I've worked for. And so a lot of them, well, I won't go down that rabbit trail, but I worked 3 days a week as a hairstylist. I did 3 13-hour shifts. And by the end, I think I was doing 12 or 13-hour shifts. I'd work from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. And I loved it because I had 4 days off every week. But I still didn't want anyone telling me what to do. I wanted to do what I wanted, when I wanted, with whom I wanted. And that's a big appeal to my business. So even though I am putting in more hours, I enjoy it. And when something happens, like Cassie wants to move back from Florida to Colorado, I can drop everything and go to Florida and get her and drive her home. When, you know, I babysit my grandbaby every Thursday and I do my best. My intention is to leave work at work and be 100% present with my grandbaby Zelda. Sometimes I'm more successful at that than others. When this baby comes in a few weeks, then I'm going to be able to do the same for her. So there are certain freedoms and liberties where I can drop everything and say yes to things that I couldn't say yes to when I was going to say a 9 to 5, when I was an 8 a.m. to 9 p.m.er. And that's been really beautiful. So Cassie, talk to me a little bit about Amy Porterfield.
Oh man. Another broad question.
Yeah. So just give our audience what you want to.
So when I first started working for Lori, it started off, like we said, as just editing podcasts. And very quickly she realized that I needed more to do. And she said, I'm going to invest in you so that you can then turn around and use that as knowledge in my business. So she put me through several of Amy Porterfield's different courses, and we've even played around with using Facebook ads for things that we learned from Amy Porterfield, and done launches based upon Amy Porterfield's launch schedule. I think there's something else that we've...
I'm not sure. So she's referring to Digital Course Academy with the launches, like webinar launches. We've played around with that.
Yeah. And I think that's been really beneficial to me to even learn things like how to interact properly on social media. Like she talks a lot about making sure that you are providing value and just general interaction outside of trying to promote your course or whatever it is that you're trying to sell at that point. She talks a lot about just building rapport, posting on your stories, things like that, that I learned I wouldn't have known. I'm terrible with social media, which I know is a bad self-talk story. I've never been a big social media user. I will change my verbiage to that. And so going through the Digital Course Academy and learning from Amy Porterfield and realizing that using things like Instagram stories, that's something that we're even still trying to figure out on how to utilize that as a tool more. And just kind of what type of interaction to just keep people engaged and keep people involved. So something that we've even taken from that is scheduling posts in our groups, creating posts so that we're consistently interacting, even when, you know, we have a call scheduled at 8 a.m., but we want to make sure we have content going out on those days. So every now and then we will schedule posts just to keep things super consistent, just so people can expect to hear from the Lori and Cassie team.
That's super helpful. So when I saw what an asset Cassie was going to be to my business, I thought, how can I help her get in that entrepreneurial headspace the best, just to kind of understand what I'm trying to do, what I'm intending to do, and why. And so putting her through Amy Porterfield's Digital Course Academy, I think was a really good way to do that, because I've kind of modeled Amy Porterfield's thought processes. A quick side note, I started asking questions about 3 years before I actually took the leap and moved from being a hairstylist to a hypnotist full time. I started asking questions. And if you take nothing from this interview, take this: the power of your questions that dictates the power of your life. So I started asking, how can I make an excellent living and make a difference for people and not trade dollars for hours and not be location dependent? And I started listening to Tim Ferriss's podcast, and he just interviews people who are uber successful in their field, whatever success means to that person. And just Jim Rohn says, you become like the 5 people you spend the most time with. So I was just spending tons of time with entrepreneurs by listening to these podcasts on my commute. And whenever I had free time, when I'm putting my makeup on in the morning, I'm listening to the way these people think. And then I found a podcast called The Smart Passive Income with Pat Flynn, and just listened to dozens and dozens of those interviews and just started getting in that headspace. So that was my mission with Cassie, and giving her access to my DCA program was helping her just realize, okay, this is what I'm doing. And I knew that because her brain just is so brilliant that she would pick up on it. And I swear she's picked up on it even better than I have when I've been immersed in this space for so long. And now she's helping me with direction. And she's like, remember, this is the way we should be doing this. And this is the way we should be doing this. And so she's helping my futuristic, I would never use the term ADD about myself, but like my dreamer, she's helping me organize my dreamer into a set of logical steps that helps me actually get where I want to go. So that was my intent. What else comes to mind when you think of things that you would want, maybe someone just starting out on this journey or someone who's thinking they might want to do a similar business? What's something that you would want people to know?
Oh man, I think really just defining what it is that you want to do is one of the most important things that I've found both in the classes that I've taken from Amy Porterfield and in our own business, is just that clear definition. So we sit down and we'll say, we're going to create this program. And we spend a lot of time outlining what that looks like, who we're talking to, who we're marketing to. Mm-hmm. So having both a clear direction in what it is you're giving someone and who you are giving that to. So I think that's, you know, we've done one, we've launched a group since I've come on, and we've launched our Love Yourself Leaner program. And in both of those, it was just a really clear cut. We sat down and there's post-it notes all over the walls and we both have our laptops open and we're taking notes in different places. And it was a little scatterbrained, but you kind of have to just throw everything out and get all of your ideas out there. And then you just really comb through it and define, and you say, does this get me closer to my goal? So you bring it back to that one thing. Is this the objective of, you know, the course or the program or whatever it is that you're trying to sell? You bring it back to that and you say, do we take this or do we leave this? Where does this fit in? And you organize it into a structure. And this is the organizational part of my brain again. But I think just that super clear, what is our goal? Who is our goal? Our target audience, and just sticking with that. And things can change along the way. We have, you know, from weight loss to our
3-day video challenge.
Or our mastermind. Like, it's very, very broad spectrum of what we do. So what you focus on can change from service to service, from product to product. But I think putting the energy in for each individual product and just having that clear cut outline is super important.
Yeah, that's awesome. For anyone who's listening and is thinking, oh, I can't do this without a Cassie. If I had a Cassie, I could do this. I've been doing it on my own for 3.5 years before bringing her in. And I was doing okay. And I think a lot of it is because I wasn't just doing it by myself. I was doing it with Tim Ferriss and Pat Flynn and other entrepreneurs. I was reading books. I was modeling people who are doing it well. Chris Thompson, he's so good at this. And so sometimes I'll ask, what would Chris Thompson do? By the way, I do have a podcast interview with him that I know you'll absolutely love. So I want you to know that you can do this. If you don't have a Cassie, if you're not able to have someone partner with you, that's okay. You'll get there. But start observing, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? And then as the instant you are able to, and maybe even before you realize you're able to, bring someone in that can be the yin to your yang, that can help you with find that balance. So if you're super organized, but maybe you're not dreaming big enough and you're not feeling empowered to reach a little bit higher than you might feel comfortable, then you might bring someone in that's going to inspire you to dream bigger. And you can find, I would highly recommend finding a partner, someone just to, if it's another person who has a similar dream to yours, get together and just inspire each other and share your dreams and share your visions. And I have gotten so much value just from talking to other people about their businesses. So you can find someone to inspire you, because I really think the reason that my mastermind group, our mastermind group, is where it is today is because Cassie and I sat down and we thought, what if we could do this? What if we can do this? How can we make it happen? And we put a plan to place, and we just, like, it's almost, I tell people, throw your heart over the fence and jump in after it. And so we threw our heart over the fence and imagined what it would be like to have that 100 members. And that's really the key to putting this all together. Will you talk to me a little bit about the first time you were on a group call with me? What was that like? What did you expect it to be like? And what did you discover it was like instead? I'm trying really hard not to feed you any information. I just want to see what comes out of this.
So I think that I was on one of your group calls years and years and years ago, like just to get on and support you. I also was on something that you had done with Freddie right before I started. I think it was a 24-hour, it was your trans aid.
Oh, yeah.
So I was on that. So, but I don't think those count. So as your assistant, being on those calls, I think just the way that people interact with you completely, and this goes back to that, like, perspective of what you were doing before versus what you're doing now, or how I see it then versus now, being on those calls and seeing those people interact with you, like, this woman is my mom. And I've always viewed her as my mom, and she's goofy and she's dorky and she's scatterbrained, and that's my mom. And that's just how I've known her, but she's built this clan. Like, she has so much support and these people who just adore her, which I understand because she's great and she's a mom, but, like, she actually has done it, which I didn't realize, I think, until I started working for her, like, how much what she's invested, the time and everything that she's invested into her business has paid off. And just seeing, like, all the people, I can see you crying. these people just love her, and she's just done a lot of the rapport building type stuff. And there are people who have been on those calls so consistently. I have not even seen calls without them in the 6-7 months that I've been working for her now. And they're just highly, highly engaged. Everyone feels safe and comfortable. And I went into it from a very, like, I'm going to get on this call and I'm going to make sure I'm running everything and taking the notes that I'm supposed to. And just being able to interact with those people in that safe environment has been, I feel uplifted after being on those calls, which I didn't expect getting on from a business perspective. Usually when you get on calls, you might leave with some motivation, like, okay, we have a new task to get done. But it's just a completely different experience than what I anticipated. And I think a huge part of that is just the rapport building, which is something that you obviously did long before I started, or else I wouldn't have had that experience when I, like, first got on one of your group calls.
I got so much more than I bargained for with that answer. That was so awesome. Thank you, Cassie. There's two things I want to talk about from that. And you can take it in whichever order you want. What will you elaborate on the idea of rapport building, why it's important, how it impacts a business based on what you've seen since you came on with me? And will you just tell people who might not be familiar with what calls we're talking about, what those calls are?
So the calls that I'm more specifically referring to are the Transy Tuesdays calls. So the Hammond Inner Circle Mastermind calls are a newer thing. Those ones are a little bit less frequent, but the Transy Tuesdays calls happen every single Tuesday, and they have been for a few years. Mm-hmm. So those are just highly interactive. And there's a group of maybe a dozen people who have been on those calls for years. And they are just like a big family, and they're all over the world. And it's just crazy to see how, you know, Tim from Canada interacts with John from the UK, and they get on and they chat like best friends. And it's just a really beautiful, beautiful environment. But the Hammond Inner Circle Mastermind also, that one blows my mind every time. And that one, I think you had one call before I came on.
I think so too.
So I've been on most of those calls, and the way that people just provide value, it's almost hard for me to keep up with just monitoring the chat and making sure I'm not missing questions. Like, I'll try to take notes, and I ended up just starting to download the chat after each call because there's so much value. Even the people who don't turn their cameras on and speak will be, you know, posting links in the chat, like, oh, hey, let me share this website manager that I use with you. And it's beautiful to see the way that everyone wants to contribute and share. And even the things that we have learned from the people inside the group, both on these calls and just in the group. What was the first part of that question?
It was rapport, but before you move on to that part, I just want to explain. So these are 90-minute calls that we do on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. And we've just added one more call for the New Zealand, Australia people, because there's a handful of New Zealand, Australia people who can't be on these calls because they happen at like 3 a.m. on their time zone. And there's usually somewhere between 30 and 50 people, which is a phenomenal turnout for a 100-person group. And then they can watch the replays later. But it's just so cool because I had no idea if it would work with that many people. That's why we shut it down. And what I found is everyone feels so supported. So it's like having a Cassie, because when, you know, I've been doing this with virtual mentors through Tim Ferriss and Pat Flynn and these different people where I've just been, you know, reading and pretending like I had this imaginary support system, but having this real in-person support system in a place where people can come and say, hey, will you be an accountability buddy? Can we get on and brainstorm about this? Has been so valuable. So yeah, it's amazing. I'm happy that you've enjoyed it. So the other one was rapport. Why is it important? And what is rapport by your definition? If someone had never heard that word before, how would you explain it?
Yeah, I'll put it in even terms of our business, of what I've seen in Lori's rapport building. So a really good example of this is one of the first tasks that Lori had me do was edit videos from her 3-day video challenge. So she had done an Ask Me review, basically, of her video challenge. And maybe 7 or 8 people went on camera and responded in their experience of the process. And it was 4 probably 1-minute videos for each participant. And they just said, this is what I did when I went into this, and this is what I came out of this with. And they, you know, shared a little bit of their background. And I felt so connected to those people. By the time I was done editing these videos, I'm like, oh my gosh, this person is doing amazing things in their business. And I felt like I knew them just from editing 4 minutes of video from each of them. And then I would see them hop on our group calls, and I'm like, oh, it's Diana or it's Barry. And I've, you know, never interacted with these people one-on-one, but seeing their faces just after, the only interaction I've ever had with them is watching their videos. And I felt like I knew them. I felt like, oh, there's someone else on this call that I know. And it's insane to me, even the way that I feel that, like, you know, having Lori as someone that I've known for many years and know her tricks. It was crazy for me to see firsthand how that kind of reflected in my own personal experiences. Like, oh, I genuinely feel like I know, like, and trust these people just from 4 minutes of video. So that, I would say, is a really good example of just even what I've seen with rapport and building rapport. And I think another aspect of that is just what being in front of a camera and building rapport is. And being in front of a camera is something that's, I know, Brandy, Lori had to learn and was a big and scary thing for her. And that's something that I'm even getting used to. And just being on the Zoom calls, like, I'm like, let me just turn my camera off because it's weird. But I know that the way that I feel connected with people whose faces I see, who I hear talk, has impacted my, I guess, relationship with them. And therefore it makes me want to do things like get on a podcast and talk to a camera and keep my camera on during Zoom calls and stuff like that, because I know that these people are seeing me do that. And they know that now I'm a person that can help answer their questions and that I am building rapport with them as well. So does that?
Yeah, that was amazing. That was way more than I bargained for, in like the best possible way. That was another nugget. I would say if you take nothing else from this interview, it's the value of making video. And I know it is scary. I was like, I still am an introvert, but I was like the introvertiest introvert you've ever known. And I was invisible on Facebook. I was hidden from Facebook. And I knew that if I was going to make a difference in the world as big as the difference I intend to make in this world, that I was going to have to go public. And it was really freaking scary. But when one of the reasons I did it is because when I was looking for a hypnotist, I was afraid of like, who is this person that's going to control my mind? This is when I didn't understand that that's not what hypnosis is. And I couldn't even find someone with a picture on their website, let alone a video. And I spent hours and hours and hours looking. And so I've always been committed to helping people just know who I am, because I'll click with some people, I won't click with some people, but I'm not going to waste people's time. They're going to know who I am before they ever request a consultation. So for anyone listening, you can make video, you can be comfortable with it. You can, and you might not be comfortable with it right away. I certainly wasn't. I felt like a deer in the headlights. I felt so awkward. And as Cassie would say, dorky. I mean, I am still dorky and awkward, but that's okay. But it was amazing, you know, when people started saying, I feel like I know you, or they would started connecting with me because they had seen me on camera. I think that it is truly the best way to build rapport. And I will tell you, people do not buy products. They buy people. And the people, if you want people to invest with you and to feel safe and comfortable investing with you, you have got to put yourself out there. You have got to let people get to know you. And the best way to do that is with video. I'm almost thinking, Cassie, as we're speaking, that maybe we should release this as a bonus episode before we do our next 3-day video challenge. So people listening, if they want to learn to be comfortable on video, I do this really awesome thing. It started out as an experiment to just see if it would work. And people loved it so much that I repeated it twice and I'm going to do another one. It's just 3 days and you only need to invest 20 minutes a day. I will tell you, most people get sucked in and they invest more because they have such a blast watching the short 1-minute videos that people make, that it just like, it builds so much rapport in this group that people connect on these 3-day video challenges and they create these lifelong deep friendships and they're supporting one another and they're making like video challenges for themselves where they're saying, okay, we're going to make a video a day for 30 days and it skyrockets their business. So I think we should do that. I think we should put this out. So anyone listening who is terrified to make video, you can have this as a resource. Again, it's 3 days. It'll be on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Do you remember the dates? Maybe I'll put it at the outro on this. We'll add an outro with the exact dates. It's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You need to devote 10 minutes to just watching the video that I make. I'm going to give you a new video every day for 3 days. It'll take you a few minutes to watch that video and then 1 minute to record your video. And I make it so easy. I literally hold your hand and walk you through the process. I have a really awesome formula for helping you feel comfortable on camera or at least feel confident. It's still going to be out of your comfort zone because everything new is, it's like you're in this conscious learning phase and it feels so weird, but I'm going to show you exactly how to start to feel comfortable and how to build massive rapport with your video so that the audience wants to lean in when you speak instead of just keep scrolling. So we'll do that.
And that's something that I have not personally experienced yet. So that's something that next time she does it, I've been thinking I will go through that as a participant and as the support aspect, just because the comfortability in front of a camera for me hasn't been established as much as it has for Lori. And all, but also I know a lot of what she preaches to people. I know, I know the lessons behind it. I just haven't implemented it yet. So I'll be there as a support person and as a participant on that one. So I'm even super excited about the next challenge that we do.
That makes me so happy. And you were brilliantly modeling what, giving an example of one of the things that I teach people, which is just to model someone who's doing it well. And I think now that I've said that, I feel like I'm setting myself up to sound really cocky, but because Cassie has been on these calls week by week, for the past few months, she's seen me, like her mirror neurons. There's a part of our brain that observes something and then can more easily duplicate it. And because she's been watching people be comfortable on camera in my group calls, I bet you would agree that Cassie is completely poised and confident and comfortable on this presenting herself. She's like doing an incredible job. I'm so proud of her as a mom. I'm like so impressed. I'm sitting here just appreciating you even more.
Thanks, Mom.
And a lot of that is just modeling. So find people that are doing it like you want to do it and model them. This is not copying and this is not faking it till you make it. Did you know that you literally cannot fake it? It is impossible to fake it, because if you can imagine it, if you can perceive it, and if you can do it, if you've ever experienced confidence, even for a split second in your life, then that means you do have confidence inside of you. You just haven't started the uncomfortable act of applying confidence to different areas of your life. And you can apply that confidence and start to speak on video or do group calls like I'm doing. What, anything that you want to do, if you can dream it, I promise you, you can do it. And if you like, one of the reasons I wanted to start to show you how I have modeled my business is so that you can take anything you enjoy from what I'm explaining and use it for yourself. Cassie and I believe big time in abundance. We truly believe what my friend Jason Lynette says, that a rising tide raises all ships and there is enough for everyone. If every single person listening to this podcast, even if it were to, even when it does go viral, if every single person listening implemented the strategies that I did and just skyrocket their business and had hundreds or even thousands of followers, we still would have impacted like a fraction of a percent of the English speaking world. Not to mention, you know, I have people who interact with me that English is not their first language. They are much more fluent in other languages and they're doing this stuff in other languages. And the impact that I want to make in this world, I will get so much more bang for my buck if I equip you to do this. So if you love the idea of weekly hip, my Transy Tuesdays calls, they are hypnosis calls. So usually the first 30 minutes is interactive and, kind of some teaching. And it's so cool because the more I have other people share, the more I learn. I realize that so many other people have things to share. And then the second half is a beautiful hypnosis session. And it's cool because a lot of the people on that call are hypnotists themselves. And because they know I'm going to give them the script afterwards, and I know scripts are controversial, we're not even going to go there right now. They're able to relax more deeply because they don't have to try to analyze what's happening. They know, okay, I'm going to get the script later so I can just enjoy this. And I've had people say this, that's the deepest I've ever gone. That is the first time I've experienced that. A big part of that is because of the rapport that we build on those calls by being there week after week. So if you love the way that sounds, know that please model anything I'm doing. Copy anything I'm doing. Like if you ever hear me doing something and if you see a little video I make, it is not mine. I have learned all of this from other people. And I had one of the biggest things the imposter monster says is I have to come up with something new. 2000 years ago, Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. If that was true 2000 years ago, imagine how true it is 2000 years later. You don't need to come up with something new because no one is going to say it just like you do. I wasn't expecting to go here, but no one can say it like you do. And there are people that you will reach that no one else will reach. So if you ever learn anything from me, this is me going on record saying, if you ever learn anything from me, what's mine is yours. I want you to share this. I want you to put it out into the world and I want you to make a difference.
And I think that's a huge part of why we wanted to sit down and make this video, is because this has been such a learning experience for both of us. And we love sharing our learning experiences with people. That's why we have the mastermind, but it's, even just the process of getting a virtual assistant, because I did start off in Florida. So we're this sitting side by side, mm-hmm. that's a new element of our working relationship. So she outsourced to me as a virtual assistant, mm-hmm. and then just the process of continuing to outsource and then continuing to figure out what a business partner relationship looks like. So just sharing our process and our, I guess, our aha moments is what we initially sat down to try and figure out how to share that.
Yeah, this has been such a fun adventure. And if you wait to have it figured out before you start, you will never start, because the best way to figure it out, whether it's doing a hypnosis session with a client, doing a group session, bringing on, beginning to outsource your tasks, your duties, you can't figure it out first. You got to figure it out as you go. And I am so grateful that Jason Lynette and Chris Thompson and many others said, you have to outsource, you have to outsource. And so finally I just did it, even though I was afraid. And now we also have someone in India, a beautiful woman named Preeti, helping us in India. And she is so capable, and she has a skill set that I don't possess, and she's skyrocketing our business even more. I am such a lone wolf. I love the idea of doing it myself, because partly I'm an introvert and I like just geeking out, and I kind of like being in control of what I'm doing and I think I hate to admit this, but I'm just going to. I like the idea of like saying, I did it. And one of the things I learned when I was immersing, you know, surrounding myself with entrepreneurs on these podcasts, the thing that I heard over and over and over again. And first, I will tell you, I resisted the heck out of it. I wanted to be the special flower that was the exception to the rule, but that is that you have got to network. And I would say that word networking sounds so cold. You have got to connect with people. Like, you have got to interact and engage. I have reached out to so many people, even though it was scary for my little introvert to do, and said, hey, I listened to your training and it was amazing. And just opening that door of communication has allowed me to build this beautiful network. And I would even say like this soul tie with people all around the world. And by being brave and bringing Cassie into my business and bringing Preeti into my business, it has skyrocketed my success in a way I never could have imagined. And knowing that I can contribute to their well-being, that I can contribute to them financially, and that I can make a difference in their lives financially is so much cooler than I ever could have imagined. So think of outsourcing as an absolute blessing, because it's going to, my income has gone up so much since I started investing my income. It's almost like planting a seed with Cassie and with Preeti. And so you might not be at a stage where you can do that, but I say, do it the instant before you realize that you can. Like when you just ask yourself, what if I could outsource? When you start to think that, your unconscious mind is going to show you ways that you can actually make it happen.
So I guess with that, my question for you is, what have you learned in the process of how to outsource? What's been your experience?
It really, the biggest one is doing it before I figured it out, because I've tried to find like specific podcasts or books or trainings that teach you how to outsource. And I didn't know, you know, I know there's Fiverr and Upwork out there, but it's like, who do I trust? Like, Preeti and Cassie have my passwords to everything. I trust them implicitly. And I'm still an absolute novice at this. I know there are people that understand so much more about outsourcing, but for me, the biggest aha moment is just doing it before I was ready. And this is how I've built my entire business. And when I finally start to realize, it's like, I'll have this aha moment. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to do this before I'm ready. And then it's like all the pieces fall into place and it materializes into something that I never could have conceived. If you try to plan it all out, it will not go the way you plan. And you can thank your lucky stars for that. I don't know if I've ever said thank your lucky stars before, but when you set an intention for the outcome you want to accomplish and you throw your heart over the fence and you let yourself feel what it would be like to have that outcome, this is like the law of attraction at its finest. It's self-hypnosis at its finest. When you let yourself really feel what it would be like to be that success, the pieces will start to fall in place for you and you just take the next step and the next step. So when I hired Preethi, I didn't really know exactly what it was going to look like, but I knew that she had amazing character and that she is really freaking smart. And as an Indian, she has her English is so much more prolific than mine. She just I just trust the heck out of her. And by just hiring her, and then she and I kind of have partnered in figuring out how she can help me the most, it's been really cool. And same with Cassie. I knew she was smart. I knew she was a really good organizer. Every business she's ever worked for, they've said, if it wasn't for Cassie, I would still be in the dark ages, because she organizes things for them so well. So by letting her come in and letting go of a little bit control, like, I know it's not going to be exactly the way I would do it, but knowing that I can make a bigger impact by chilling out and letting go of a little bit more perfectionism, it's been an incredible thing.
Yeah. And I think that's something that I've seen both sides of the coin at this point. 6 months in, I've already started to, build past what we originally thought was going to be the parameters of me assisting you, that some of my tasks we have now started to outsource. So I have been the coacher and the coachee, and it's been just an insane process. And I wish that I could tell everyone how to find a Cassie, how to choose who that person is going to be. I think Lori's advice of finding someone who complements, who has the strengths that you lack and is kind of the yin to your yang. I think that we do really good at that. We have two different brains, but we do have a lot of the same core beliefs on, we'll pull each other back and say, what's the one thing? What's our main focus? Mm-hmm. But we have two different ways of looking at it, which I think is really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then also just coming from someone who has now passed on some of my tasks to somebody, that has been an insane learning process for me. And just knowing how to communicate things effectively, and it takes quite a bit of patience, and you do have to kind of let go of the reins a little bit, which is scary for me. And this is not even, my business exactly. It's Lori's business. But that's something that I take pride in, mm-hmm. as if it was my own. So being able to say, okay, this is something that I'm going to give up. And that's, I'm like, that's my baby. That's, I've done this for 6 months. So now it's mine. And just really having to sit myself down and say, what is the one thing? What is the most effective thing that you could be doing right now? Is it more efficient for you to find someone who you trust, who you know has the skill set, who could potentially even do it better than you? Which we have both. She handed the podcast to me, and I think that I did it faster and more efficiently than she did. And Preethi's just been doing it for a couple weeks for us, and we're having a hard time keeping up with her because she's so good at it, which has just been an insane learning experience on my end, is just how to, I guess, come to terms with letting go of things, and then patience. I think patience, as far as, teaching people, has been my biggest.
And that's been really cool for me to observe, is seeing you blossom as a teacher and learning how to express things in a way that helps her understand. And she's a great learner, so she knows how to ask questions to get what she needs. You said something there that you might not realize. I feel like you stumbled on the key thing that you would want in outsourcing. And I just heard, I was listening to Brian Tracy talk about this in an audio yesterday. He was coaching a person who wants to come up professionally, who wants to develop themselves professionally and move into a place where they are making, bringing in abundance in their financial life. And he said, show up every day at work as if you own the business, take full ownership. And if you're an employee, like if you're a janitor, you sweep those floors as if you were as if this was your own business. And so Cassie said at one point, I treat this like it's my own business. And I know Preethi does as well. Preethi and Cassie care as much about moving my, about me about my business as I do. And I think that's the key, is finding someone who is passionate and wholehearted and devoted. And you're not going to find people, I don't know that if you'll find people like that on Fiverr and Upwork. I suspect you could if you could like get on the phone with them or get on a Zoom call with them and pick up on their character. One of my first mentors, his name is Jill Merm, and he was the owner of the salon where I worked. I love this man with all my heart. Like, he has had a massive life-changing difference in my life. I'm getting emotional. And he would just, sometimes I would be walking through the break room and he would stop me and he would say, "Hey, Lori, can you sit down for a couple minutes?" And the wisdom he would give me was just like amazing. There are two pieces of wisdom that have really stuck with me. And the first one, and he said this really early on, he said, I when I hire someone, I hire them for character. And he said he actually prefers hiring someone that is fresh out of cosmetology school, because he said, I can train people how to do hair. He didn't, because he actually wasn't a hairstylist. We can train someone how to do hair. We can train someone how to have best practices with a client, but we can't train character. So he always would hire for character first, work ethic, the ability to be professional. And that has stuck with me. And so as I am now starting to look at ways to expand my business, and I can guarantee you, I will bring more and more people on, because I plan to I don't want to say, like, as a weight loss coach, I don't want to say I plan to be really big. I plan to have an incredible reach. I will be hiring for character, and Cassie and Preeti have set the bar so high that they've really helped tune my reticular activating system to know what kind of people to look for. If you were to talk to a banker and you were to hand them a wad of cash and they go through that cash, you know how they know the counterfeit? It's because they touch real money all day long. And because they're touching real money all day long, they know the fake immediately. It's the same thing when you're really looking at the kind of character that you want. When you're studying what it is that you want, you'll automatically spot the fakes. If you're like looking at the fakes so that you'll spot them, you're going to actually attract the fakes to you. So that first lesson is hire for character. And the second one is seek feedback. Like, oh, and this one, when he told me this, I'm like, I'm not going to do it, because my personality type, I love validation. I am like, if someone criticizes me, it feels like a punch in the stomach. And he said, Lori, one of the most valuable things that you can do is to ask for feedback. Say, hey, how did you feel about the way I did that service? And one cool thing about the model at the salon where I was, I learned so much about what I do now as a hairstylist, because my first 4 to 6 months, I can't remember anymore, at that salon consisted of me standing next to a master hairstylist and just watching the way she interacted with the client, listening to the way she did the consultation, seeing her get down on one knee and lower herself below the client before she gave a price quote, always quoting the price at the beginning so that person felt safe and comfortable and knew what to expect when they got to the front desk, formulating color. Like, I didn't consciously notice this, but I watched her body language. I watched the way she angled the hair when she cut. And so many people were standing around and watching you all the time that you could then go and say, hey, do you have any feedback for me? How can I do this better? And I remember the first time someone gave me feedback, my reaction was to be defensive and to say, and that's okay. You know what? That might be the way you respond at first. But when you start to learn the value, we all have our blind spots. And when you start to accept the value of hearing feedback, especially from someone who truly has your best interests in mind, it's incredibly valuable. And I just want to say, I wasn't planning to go off on this tangent, but I think this is really important as well. When I started doing this, and I knew I was going to be on video, and I thought, people are going to criticize me. People are going to think I'm dumb. People are going to be like, what is Lori Hammond doing? She's a hairstylist, not a hypnotist, which I have this like knack for choosing 3-syllable H words as my career. I was so scared. And I saw this Brené Brown video. I think you can find it if you search. It's not the critic that counts. It's a TED Talk. And it changed my life because she says, people are going to come and criticize you and they're going to tell you you're dumb. Like, it does happen. People criticize me. And there's a big difference between criticism and feedback. So when people are criticizing you, it's often because there's something inside them, and this is unconscious. They're probably not doing this consciously, that is afraid to put them, they're afraid to do what they're doing, you're doing. And so their criticism of you is actually a reflection of the way they see themselves, and it's going to hurt. And I have this litmus test when I get criticism. You know, someone criticized me on Facebook the other day. He like told me I was an idiot and that I was doing it wrong. And I went and looked at his Facebook page, just thinking about Brené Brown saying it's the person who's actually in the arena. It's the person who's actually doing it, who's actually putting themselves out there in the world and understands what it's like to be doing what you're doing. That's the opinion that counts. And this person that was criticizing me had no profile picture on his Facebook page. Everything was private. Like, he was being invisible. And I thought, okay, like, I value this guy. His opinion is special. He's a special human, but I'm not listening to him because his opinion doesn't matter to me. But at the same time, when someone tells you something and maybe you want to be defensive and you want to resist that feedback, and that is a difference, feedback and criticism, they're very different things. When someone has an aim to help you grow and do better, I will tell them, thank you so much. You know, people that have been through my weight loss program or through my Transy Tuesdays, and they say, I think you could make it even better by doing this. I am so grateful for that because I can only see what I can see. Cassie has offered that by having her perspective, Preeti by having her perspective. And when you seek feedback and say, tell me how I can improve. And then when they tell you, you say, thank you. Not, yeah, but, or I'm doing that because of, you know, help people feel safe giving you feedback and it will absolutely skyrocket you. I'm done monologuing.
That was valuable. That was a good monologue.
Cassie, is there anything else that you want people to understand before we tie this up?
I feel like there's a million things that we could continue to talk about, but I think those were the big things, was like rapport and just intention, direction, and then, you know, a little bit about what the process of bringing someone on and letting go of the reins kind of looks like. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
No, the biggest thing is I just want to tell you how grateful I am for you. I have done, I think that we've recorded something like 34, 36 podcasts. And every time I get off, I think that was my favorite. No, that was my favorite. Like, I love them all so much, but I am going to openly say, like, of all the amazing humans that have been on my show, this is my favorite. I love this so much. And I'm so grateful to have you in my business. I'm so grateful to have you in my life. I can't wait for this little baby. And thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy that we did this.
Me too. And thank you so much to everyone who listened. I hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you would like to sign up for my 3-day video challenge and you're listening before September 20th, 2021, go to lorihammond.club to save your spot in the challenge. That's lorihammond.club. I would love to have you there. Have a great day, my friend.